Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor. And today we have Tinya with us. Tinya, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Tinya Eichenberg of Design Your Existence. I'm an energy healer and a self-care coach, and I assist individuals in releasing the energetic baggage that they have taken on either through inherited, absorbing it from other people, creating it themselves, but these energies can block us from thriving in our life or being able to do the conscious work so that we can thrive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the conscious work.
Yeah, you have to do it all.
Yes, you do.
You can't just do one. I think you can absolutely do all the conscious work. But when you add in the energetic work to clear out those blocks, it makes the conscious work go much quicker.
Absolutely. And often we're operating from blocks without even recognizing it.
Yeah.
How would you describe survival mode?
Survival mode. You know, I started in survival mode a lot earlier than I originally thought, especially when I got into my healing journey. But survival mode for me was learning to walk on eggshells. It was being able to understand the energy and the moods in a room before I even spoke to anyone. And this started so early on that I have very few memories before age 8, because I started in survival mode before I was even cognitive of it.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Listen, I recognize that I was probably in survival mode from the age of 7. Once I get to a point where I can process my story. So I definitely understand that. So why don't you tell us your story to and through survival mode? I'm going to get up for 1 second just so I can
Sure.
deal with my child.
Sure, of course. I'll just continue talking. So I started really not understanding that I was in survival mode until I started on my healing journey. And my healing journey started in 2018, or not really 2018, it started in 2020, but it started to surface to needing be taken care of in 2018. My husband and I sold our home that we raised our kids in for 16 years. Our twins were graduating from high school. My husband and our oldest were graduating from college. So 2018 was a huge year for us, for our family, and the transformation of it. And once I didn't have all of the mom duties to keep me busy, my anxiety and depression started to resurface, and it started to resurface fast, and it was resurfacing hard. And in the beginning, I tried to just manage it, just push the symptoms away, drinking, smoking, hanging out at the beach, throwing myself into work, watching a lot of TV that was not good for my emotional state. And I did that for about, gosh, it was probably almost a year and a half that I did that. And through that time, my mom and I stopped talking for a little bit because my mom was diagnosed bipolar. She recently passed away, and that will be another part of my story. But she was diagnosed as being bipolar when I was 7 or 8 years old. And so we had a lot of trauma in our family. We had a lot of chaos in our family. And so we had to learn to manage that. And as a child, not knowing what's going on with your mom, you try to figure out you try to manage what can I do, what can I not do. But also, jumping forward to being who I am now, I can look back and go, oh my gosh, my mom had to figure out how to deal with this mental illness that she was being diagnosed with. And she was 28 years old with four kids, two of them being teenagers, and having to figure out how to navigate this mental illness. And so now I can go back and go, I have so much compassion for her. I understand that her and my dad raised us from their trauma, raised us from their beliefs. Doesn't make it right how I felt in that household, but it's my responsibility to heal from it. It's my responsibility to change the dynamic so that it doesn't get passed down to my kids. So I started in 2020. I was like, I need help because I was at the point where I was contemplating driving my car into a telephone pole so I could get a few days off from work. And at that point, I was like, I know I need help. And the traditional routes were all I knew then. So I got on medication, talk therapy, and this was all during COVID. So there was that whole dynamic of doing everything online to get used to. But about 2 months into the process of the medication and the talk therapy, I was just numb. I wasn't crying or as anxious as I had been, like everything had kind of subdued, but I really wasn't happy either. I wasn't laughing, I wasn't smiling, I didn't have that joy deep down inside that I yearned for. And so I went back to the doctors and I was like, hey, this is what's going on. And the first thing they suggested was, let's up your medication. The first thing that talk therapy suggested was a CBT app, cognitive behavioral therapy app. And I wasn't in the right state of mind to download an app and on a daily basis access this app and do these exercises. It just wasn't there. And I got off the phone and I was like, I'm not doing this again. I'm not going down this road of emotional roller coaster because I have to change medications and adjust medications. I want this bond now, and I want to thrive. I want to be so happy in the lifetime. And so I did a Google search for holistic emotional healing because I didn't want to take any supplements or medication. I didn't want to change my eating habits. I just wanted something that was going to get me started on the right path, but I didn't have to ingest anything. And this modality, the emotion code, popped up. And it is a modality of using muscle testing, which is using the body, the tension that your body creates with yes or no answers. And so there are a lot of different ways to muscle test. But I was looking into this and I was like, huh, okay, I'll drink the purple Kool-Aid, because I was like, my belief system was you have to ingest something. But I had asked for something where I didn't have to ingest something. And so I was like, what do I have to lose? But maybe a few hundred dollars with, trying this out. And so I tried it out and it worked. Within a few sessions with other practitioners, I learned that we all have layers and it takes time. I learned that I inherited a bunch of stuff from my parents. So I was carrying crap around that wasn't even mine. And so within 2 weeks, I had signed up to get my own certification so I could learn all about it. And so I got my certification in the emotion code, the body code, and then easy entity release, which is now called Healing Remembered. But with those three processes, and all three of these processes allowed me to do the work, allowed me through muscle testing and the apps and the charts that I had to find what needed to be addressed to get rid of my anxiety and depression, to cure my anxiety and depression. And I say cure because I did cure myself from that anxiety and depression. I didn't do it alone. I had other practitioners helping me, but I had to do the energetic work so that I could do the self-care work, which was meditation, journaling, reparenting myself. And I was able to do all of that while still being a wife and a mother and a friend and working 40 hours a week. It was just, I didn't have to shut everybody out to heal either.
I always love introducing different modalities in this space simply because oftentimes I know I experienced I went to a therapist for years, and I felt like I wasn't moving forward. I managed initially my time with a therapist was I had to go because I had tried to commit suicide, and so having to go twice or three times a week and sit in this chair and talk, I learned how to show up in a way that it was accepted, right? Like I wasn't really moving myself forward. I wasn't getting deep. I wasn't, if I'm honest now, I probably wasn't even really honest in those spaces because I knew it was just a checkbox exercise for me. And oftentimes, I speak about this because I had compounded trauma for over 2 decades. And when it came down to me saying, you know what, this is it for me, I need help, I knew it wasn't a therapist. So I went to a coach. She was also a psychotherapist, which in hindsight, I see that the tools that she brought to the table actually did help in some way, but she wasn't coming at me from that regulated therapist position, which is what I needed. And she was very raw with me. She was very honest with what my words were saying, even though I thought I was masking a lot. So Whenever I have the opportunity to introduce my audience to a new modality, I do it with so much excitement because what I've learned, even in my healing journey, it's not just one thing that helps. And sometimes we have to shop around for the best fit, which is why I love this space in particular. But one of the things that I think is really interesting is being a, using your muscles to speak to you, right? As oftentimes, especially as trauma victims, we aren't aware of how much our trauma lives in our body. And we I don't think us as humans know how to read our bodies either. And our bodies speak to us, and
They
they
do.
speak to us very loudly, but we tend to mute it, ignore it, move on. But oftentimes our healing is being highlighted. The need for healing is being highlighted by our bodies. So can you go a little bit more into, a little bit more into explaining that particular modality and how it really helped you? Because you mentioned, listening to your body by asking questions, and like someone might be listening and say, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so muscle testing is there are so many different ways to muscle test. One of them is you can use a pendulum or a necklace. You can use a string on, a heavy weighted string on a paper clip. It's just something that is going to give you a yes or no answer. Is this just audio or is it video too?
Yes, boo.
Both. Okay. So I'm going to grab my pendulum so that those who on the video can see, and I'll try to explain it as audio. But, a pendulum is just a weight, something weighted on a string. Okay. It can be a crystal, it can be mine's copper. There's lots of different types of things out there. But what it does, and you'll notice if you watch, my hand will start to move, but that's where the muscle testing comes in. This isn't spirit moving it. This is me. This is my higher self. Now, there are, this goes in, this could be a whole nother episode of like, there's different parts of us that can answer. There's different aspects of us. So there's a higher self, there's our ego. But anyway, so I always ask for the answers to be from my higher self. And because I've been doing this for so long, I know when my answers are from my higher self and when they're not. But I can ask, all right, so we'll just get it to hold. Okay, so show me yes, and it goes into a circle. And I can say, show me no, and it goes back and forth. Okay, so that is muscle testing. So I can say, my name is Tina. Yes. I can say, my name is Bob. No, because my name's not Bob. So I can say, does my body, so I will tell you if you use this for what does your body like to eat? Okay. So I can say, does my body like ice cream? No. Because my body does, I really, my body, while my tongue, my mouth, my inner child loves ice cream, my digestive system does not. Does my body like broccoli? No. So just because it's healthy doesn't mean my body's going to like it. But through muscle testing, you can find trapped emotions. You can find negative core beliefs. You can find spirit attachments. You can find all these negative energies, all these different frequencies, because that's all they are. They are emotions and energy on a lower frequency level that is not congruent with where your body wants to be. Our bodies want to vibrate high. Our bodies want to be in flow. They don't, being in pain is not normal. Our bodies are not supposed to be in pain. They're in pain because of stored trauma. They're in pain because of food that doesn't agree with us. It's in pain because we're using it the wrong way. So there's so many different reasons why our body's in pain, but it's not normal. And so we can ask, okay, so do I have a trapped emotion Of anxiety. Yes, I do. Can I clear that? Yes, I can. So then all I do is I use my intention and I say, I clear, cleanse, and release this trapped emotion of anxiety. Okay. And then I can go, is that trapped emotion of anxiety cleared? Yes. And you can see I didn't shake my hand really fast. I didn't jerk it. I didn't, let's get it moving, right? I didn't force it. It was just a natural response that my body was giving to answers. And now what this does over time, as you're doing it, you pay attention to the sensations in your bodies. So now if something is true for me, if something is good for me to talk about or do, spend money on, I'll get goosebumps. If I don't get goosebumps, I try not to do it. It's not always an option. Sometimes I have to do it anyway, but I at least know that if something down the line goes wrong after that decision, I know that it's because it was something that I had to do, maybe for somebody else to get goosebumps on their path, but I can always redirect my path. I can always take a detour and do something and come back to it. But this just allows you to really get in touch with the sensations in your body, and it puts the healing back in your hands.
One of the things that I learned, and I probably don't remember where what each zone represents, right? But I remember during my healing, sitting in silence and being asked questions, and then having to identify where I feel the emotion. And I, you know, and that really allowed me to start getting in touch with my body. I probably could be more in touch, but one of the things that I do is I will sit and in silence and ask myself questions and just see how I respond to it. As someone who took a very long time to understand how to regulate my nervous system and ground myself, it has now become very important to me to be able to recognize when my nervous system is screaming for help. And not only recognize it, but also be able to understand where it's coming from, right? Because sometimes it might be, you know, excitement, sometimes it's grief, sometimes it's something completely different. But it's huge for me as someone who, for many, many years, was great at stuffing every emotion but anger. The anger, like I used to describe myself as a volcano. Eruptions were looming if you said the wrong thing or you did the wrong thing, but I didn't know how to process my disappointment. I didn't know how to process my sadness because to me those indicated weakness. But
That's how we're taught. Right?
absolutely.
That's how our generation was taught to deal with things was to stuff them down. I will tell you one thing that healing is an ongoing journey. My mom passed away about a month ago, and I have done a lot of healing over the last several years between her and I, and it got to the point where I could have a conversation with her. I could be in the same room with her without being triggered. And when she passed away, it was just a very weird, the grief setting in, it was just complicated because we weren't close, but she was still my mom. But I will tell you that since her passing, I have had things come up that have triggered me that resembled how she used to trigger me from other people. And that is just an indication that there were things that were buried so deep that I was not ready to face or deal with. And once she passed, the floodgates opened, and we're like, okay, now we're going to give you the rest of this that you need to heal from, where you need to set boundaries.
Absolutely. And I always say on this podcast that healing, there is no destination of
Right.
healed. And every level or every new experience requires us to re-examine our healing process, right? Like you can be introduced to something that triggers you immensely and you'll be confused. Like I spent so much time working on that one particular thing. Yes, you work on it in one aspect and then you're
Right.
introduced to it in another element or
Right.
another environment and then you recognize, well, wait a minute. And it's not a conscious thing. A lot of people
No.
think, oh, well, I'm not ready to go through this. No, you're subconscious. It drips out
Yeah.
the capacity to heal often because it's also still trying to protect you. And in protection is keeping you in homeostasis. And whatever your homeostasis is, and for some of us, it's pure chaos, but that is what it has come to know as home.
Right.
So as you enter into new environments, as you enter into another level of your healing, they say new levels, new devils, right? Because you do get tested, your subconscious does get pushed, and it's up to you to be able to anchor back into the healing process and re-examine, it's always for me, well, what is this lesson? And why is it important now?
Why is this happening for me?
Yes, it's so like when you are able to shift your perspective and like this isn't coming to break me, this is coming to edify me in some way. And if I can slow down and remove the initial emotion from it and really just anchor into what is the potential, like what could I potentially learn here? I think it makes us show up differently to embrace the healing that often is planted at our front door as we journey through life and we experience different experiences.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so in relation to, and I want to say condolences if you did not hear me,
I did
but
hear
in
you. Thank you so
okay,
much.
no worries. What have you learned outside of, you've been triggered in certain elements, but what have you learned in this grief process about yourself that may be something new for you? I'm just curious.
Everybody has. One thing I've learned was I still wonder what other people think because I am not processing in a way that a lot of people might think I need to process. When I first heard that she had passed, I did cry. I didn't cry for very long, but it was a kind of a hard cry. And looking back, I now know that it was a cry of relief. Not just relief that she was no longer in pain, but also relief that I no longer had to deal with her. And I know that sounds cold-hearted and cruel to some people, but there was a point where my mom told me that she didn't like me 99% of the time. So with that, I grieved the way I needed to grieve. And I'm still grieving the way I need to grieve. And grieving is very, it's a very personal journey. And if you choose to put it out there to on social media, like so many do these days, that's your choice. I am putting mine out there, but it's from a different perspective. And I'm trying to be raw and honest with it because my mom and I did not have a close relationship for the last 15 years. And that really changes how you look at parents' death when you're not close to them. I've grieved for my mom several times over the years because of surgeries she's gone into or her suicide contemplations that she shared with me. That's having to grieve for your parent 7, 8, 9, 10 times over a 40-year period is hard. And every time you think she's going to be gone and she doesn't, you're like, now what do I do with all these feelings? Obviously, I can't go to her with them. I couldn't go to my dad with them because he was a very quiet, not really emotional, but he also shared a lot with my mom. So I couldn't go to him. And I couldn't go to my siblings because they didn't want to talk about her. So I really had no one to go to that I felt would understand what I was going through.
You mentioned something earlier as you were telling your story, and you talked about the compassion that you gained for your mother during the healing process. And for me, I can really relate to that. It's not a dismissal of what happened, but I think as we heal, we get a better understanding. And whenever I know hear someone's story, there is empathy for what they went through, but there's always this question for me about, like, the perpetrator. I'm always wondering, well, what created that? You know what I mean? And I think that level of compassion it's so freeing and liberating, because for so long we can be angry and disgusted at people. But when we can anchor into that compassion that comes as we heal, I think it liberates us from the heaviness of our experience. And it's like, a lot of times we don't necessary experience necessarily experience life from a human perspective. We have been conditioned to remove our humanness, a humanness, and almost show up as robots. And I think being able to then have that level of compassion, even still be angry, but still have this level of compassion, like, there was something that created this. And with your mom, it was her bipolar, and it may have been other things, I don't know. But just to say, you know what, she's human too. It removes this desire for people to be more than they really are. And oftentimes we put people on this pedestal because of maybe social expectations or even our own expectations. And being able to have compassion really just changes the narrative completely.
It does. We are taught to put our parents on pedestals, especially if we go to church and we're taught the Ten Commandments, where, you put your parents up here. And there were often times growing up, well, growing in my adult life and in talking with people about what was going on with my mom, they're like, but she's your mom. And it's gotten to the point where I don't care if you're family. I don't care if we're blood related. If you can't respect me, if you can't respect my boundaries, then our relationship is going to change. And that may mean that I keep you at arm's length. I never cut my parents out of my life. My mom did cut me out of hers because I set up boundaries. And for that, I can't just because she's my mom. I can't just because he's my dad, or it's my brother, or it's my sister, or it's my best friend, or it's my kid. Or it's my husband. I can't just because. If you're going to show disrespect, I'm still going to show you respect because it's not my character to be disrespectful. But there's going to be something that is blocking you from being able to be in my life on a consistent basis.
I relate to that so well. About 13 years ago, I cut off my father, and the backlash that I received, that's your daddy, that's like he is the reason you're here. How could, the Bible says honor thy father and thy mother. And I was like, so what, I'm supposed to suffer for the rest of my life because of his nonsense? Like, that's crazy to me. The expectation of self-abandonment because of loyalty is ludicrous to me.
But I will tell you that I was on that side as well. When my brother cut my mom off, There were times when I said, but she's your mom. Now, at that time, I didn't know any better. That was coming from my unhealed self, from my beliefs that were instilled in me that she's your mom. It took another, oh gosh, probably 5 years for me to get to my healing journey. So I was where all of these people who were saying, but she's your mom, but he's your dad. We've all been that person. But now, because we've done the healing, we can say, yeah, I was that person, but I'm not that person anymore. And I won't tell anybody that anymore. If you're having problems with anybody and you don't feel comfortable having them in your life, then it's okay to separate yourself from them, regardless of who they are. It's you have to set yourself up to thrive in your life. Life has enough challenges that we don't need other people to challenge it for us.
And we just have to learn how to choose us. And that is something that we are conditioned against, but I think it's so important. I mean, we may be in community, we may be in family, but the reality is we are on this journey alone. And if we are self-abandoning, if we are prioritizing everyone else's needs or desires and really anchoring into social expectation and social control, we give away our power in so many ways. So, Tina, I have really enjoyed this conversation, particularly, I mean, I was in awe with the pendulum and seeing it move, seeing it in motion. How can the audience connect with you online and learn more about what it is that you do?
Yeah, you can go to my website, designyourexistence.com. Everything is on there. You can find my socials on there. There's a contact me page. I have some group healings available, and eventually, once my new website is done, it'll have all my events listed as well. But if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me through my website.
Okay, well, we'll put that in the show notes, Tina, before we wrap it all up. One last key takeaway for the audience to action.
You're worth spending your time on. Just period. You are your first job. You are your first best friend. You are your first.
You are worth every second, my
Every
love.
second. Yep.
Thank you so much, Tina, for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. And audience, thank you for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you, you are not built to break, but you damn sure are not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.